Hour number two of Three and Out here. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Tanner Carson, Billy Wilford. Now we got intern Matt rolling with you here. Got the full house in here this morning. Taking over for the Godfather Nate Hodges, the Vol Rumor Mill, Houston Cress, as they are on vacation. Did they happen to tell you why they take their vacation the same week?
Yeah, and it
I think I've heard the reason.
It's a good reason. They like to keep the show, and they like to give the listeners what they want, and the listeners love Houston and love Nate. They love them together. So they thought, instead of having 2 weeks to where it was throwing the listeners off, just to have one. Makes sense.
It does. Which I'm not complaining, though. I love this opportunity here. I had to get used to going to bed really early, waking up really early, doing everything really early.
5 a.m. comes really early.
I didn't wake up at 5, though.
Did you wake up
at 5?
It freaks me out. I got to get here early. Like, you never know if your car is going to start. Last Friday, I walked into 2 spider webs. I didn't know how. I didn't even know if I could see the drop, you know?
Ooh.
So, I wake up early, make sure I'm here, make sure everything's going okay.
I might need to start doing that. Because I was the last person out of the 3, and I was still here, like, on time. I was here, like, 10 minutes before 7. Like, I was ready to go and everything, but, like, I don't know. It's just... I don't drag in the morning or anything like that. It's just like, oh, I'm not used to this. I can't lollygag. I have to actually do stuff.
The first week was really hard.
Now, I'm sure it was.
Now you wake up, you get some coffee in you, good to go.
Your body adjusts to it.
Oh, yeah.
Body adjusts to it. The only reason I probably say to myself, I don't know how Nate and Houston do this every day is because, well, I don't do this every day. I'm on the complete opposite spectrum of what we do here. I'm the nightcap. I'm the second shift, the night owl here. But you know, like I said, I have to be company man sometimes, and I'm very happy that Nate and Houston gave me the opportunity to fill in the host chair with you, Billy. It's been a good first hour of radio so far, and we got 2 more to knock out here, man.
Yeah, it's always, like you said, you're kind of doing the night shift. It's always kind of crazy that, you know, we're in and out of the studio so much that, and with very little time in between shows, that we don't really get to talk as much as I think we would want to.
Right.
So it's cool to sit here with you and talk a little Carrie Blackshear news. Hopefully, hour 3, we get some breaking Carrie Blackshear news.
That would just deliver it to me, it to me. And then we'd be set. It's like, forget all the prep we've done. just toss my computer out the window. I'll know what we talk about if that happened to come across
the wire. We'll open up the phone lines and do a Carrie Blackshear reaction hour.
100%. But until then, it's late June. And with late June, when it comes to college football news, it's list season. I love list season. I love going through all the lists. I love all the preseason rankings. Athlon Sports, known for their nice season preview editions of their website content and their magazine. Yesterday, they took on the task of ranking all FBS teams. That's 130 FBS teams. 130. They ranked them all. Ranked them all.
Have you already looked at this list?
I have looked at the SEC teams ranked here. I have the rest of the list pulled up here. Before we dive into this and have our agreements or disagreements with the rankings, I'm going to guess, and this is something that we could talk about later as well if y'all didn't touch on it yesterday, because this is one of the most bizarre stories I thought I wouldn't see, it's a story I thought I would never even think about. But it's 130. Is it UConn? Is it UConn? I haven't even looked. Is it UConn?
It is not.
Ah! Where is UConn?
You're very close.
Are they 129, 128?
126.
Ah, damn. Who's 130?
Rice.
Really? Ah!
The Owls finished 2-11 with just one Conference USA win.
The UConn's like basically about to give up on football, though.
Yeah,
I would put them dead last just for that.
UMass 129, UTEP, some team Tennessee's familiar with, 128. New Mexico State 127, UConn 126.
I feel like New Mexico State's like always at the bottom of the rankings. That's a team that should like be relegated to FCS. They should do what Idaho did. I don't know how that team makes enough money. I don't know how Rice makes enough money.
Yeah,
I'm guessing it's just because private school,
probably
big donors. They used to be good at football, like in the 40s and 50s. So I guess they're trying to continue that on. Poor Rice being 130 and 130. At least their players are smart.
There's a Tennessee opponent that comes in below 120.
Georgia State.
Yep.
They went like 2-10 last year.
Georgia State.
The bottom 10 of this list. It makes you feel better about yourself being a Tennessee fan. It's like, at least you're
could
not.
Could be worse.
At least you're not ranked in the 120s. At least you're not in the 120s. At least it's not that bad. Before we get into some other teams here, would you like to see where Athlon ordered the teams in Southeastern Conference, all 14 of them?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm gonna guess Alabama won.
Yes, of course. Let's do from like worst to like better.
Okay,
I guess here. So the first SEC team. When it all comes to all 130 FBS teams, this isn't bad considering. The first SEC team comes at number 70. So all 14 teams are in the top 70 at least.
Okay.
And there's like how many bowl games? If you're like the 70th best team, you might get to a bowl game, I guess. I don't know. Probably not. But.
Yeah, I think there's like 38 bowl games or something very close to that.
Something like that. So guess who is dead last of the SEC ranked teams, but number 70 in the country going into 2019? I'll give you a hint. They were the worst team last year.
I'm going to say Arkansas.
Is Arkansas. Is Chad Morris and the Razorbacks at number 70 here. Next up. Coming in at number 62. Hint, same division.
Ole Miss.
It is Ole Miss at 62. We jump up another 12 spots here. Top 50 already. Who is number 50?
Top 50.
Number 50, exactly.
I'm gonna translate to the East here because I think everyone else in the West is pretty decent team.
Pretty good.
It's going to be Vandy or Tennessee, in my opinion.
Yeah, Vandy.
Vandy.
It is Vanderbilt. You got these next two teams kind of like close to 52. Let's see, number 48.
Tennessee.
Nope.
Kentucky.
It is Kentucky. Number 47.
Tennessee.
Is Tennessee.
Man, so
Vandy
50, 47.
Kentucky 48, Tennessee 47. Athlon doesn't see a lot of separation between the three.
Yeah, and if...
And I mean, can you really?
Yeah, that's kind of why I was torn between Tennessee and Vandy, just because we mentioned it yesterday. Five out of the last seven seasons, Vandy's beat Tennessee. Like that just sounds so weird, right?
I know.
Vandy's beat Tennessee. I know. Five out of the last 7 years.
I know.
Three in a row. There was a stretch in my life where Vandy had never even beat Tennessee.
Yeah, same. Same. I was born in 1995. I didn't see a loss to them till 2005. Yeah. Oh, how the turntables. Let's continue on here. We're getting into better and better teams here. We jump up 15 spots from Tennessee at 47 out of all 130 FBS teams to number 32 here. Who you got?
South Carolina.
Damn, did you read this list?
I have not looked.
It is South Carolina. It is South Carolina. The Gamecocks at number 32. And we're getting...
That's kind of high.
I think it is, too. Maybe it's just ranking quality of the team and not like what they might be, because they have the toughest schedule in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Their schedule is stupid hard. If they didn't have dumbass Will Muschamp coaching them, I would actually feel sorry for them. But they have Will Muschamp coaching them. We have not beat Will Muschamp yet. So, no sympathy. No real sympathy. They can just go through murderer's row. It's fine with me. Next up here, taking two spots up to number 30. We are in the top 30 now.
Missouri?
Mm-mm. Got one wrong, finally.
Mississippi State.
It's Mississippi State. Yeah, on the second guess.
Man, they're high on Missouri.
Missouri, I'll go ahead and tell you, Mizzou's next. Number 23.
Yeah.
They got Mizzou in the top 25.
Man.
Yeah.
We've talked about this a lot. I'm curious to see what you think. They have a postseason ban on Missouri right now. Chance yesterday mentioned that it could be lifted just depending on the appeal. However, is it not good for Tennessee that they play Mizzou that late in the season with a postseason ban?
If that ban isn't lifted, I mean, it's always like the teams aren't going. They know are not going to play in the postseason. It's either it can go one or two ways. They can be like, oh, we don't have really anything to play for. Let's just mail it in. Or they can be like, hey, we have nothing to lose. And those teams can kind of be dangerous too. So I don't know. I'm not confident playing Mizzou, man. I'm just not. They have hung 100 points on us in the last 2 years. And now they have Kelly Bryant at quarterback?
Yeah.
I mean, that is late in the season. Who knows what the tale of each team is going to be by that point. But right now, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not that confident here. We'll go ahead and hit this first break here since we are up against it. Finish out this list here and also get to the Fan Run phone lines as well if you'd like to join in. It's 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Keep it right here on 3 and Out. You're listening to Fan Run Radio. Back here on 3 and Out, continuing our discussion here, Athlon Sports ranked all 130 teams in FBS. Gideon right now, just talking about specifically the SEC teams right now. We've been through it. We've been through most of the SEC here. I'll run through this again real quick. Number 70, they have Arkansas. 62 is Ole Miss. 50 is Vandy. 48, Kentucky. 47, Tennessee. 32, South Carolina. 30, Mississippi State. And then when we last left off, they're very high on Mizzou. Kelly Bryant at quarterback. Even with the postseason ban, they got the Tigers in the top 25 at number 23. So now, Billy, we get into the top 20.
Before we get there.
But before we do.
I have let the listener down.
Oh.
We didn't tell them what Athlon had to say about Tennessee.
Oh, we got what they had to say here. I will tell you that Stephen LaSan, I think that's how you say his last name, he did write this too. What did Stephen of Athlon have to write about the Vols?
Jeremy Pruitt has things going in the right direction, and the Volunteers seem poised to return to a winning record in 2019. Quarterback Jared Garantano should thrive under new offensive coordinator Jim Chaney, and the addition of two freshman tackles should help that line. Tennessee's defense has concerns up front, but should be solid in the secondary. So he didn't really give us anything that we don't already know.
True.
However, I've made this argument. I don't know. Like, we should have concerns about the defensive front. However, I said it can't get any worse, right? Like, it's been bad for so long. Like,
I feel like we say that Tennessee football a lot.
And that's what Houston said. Like, we always say that.
This is rock bottom. It can't get any worse.
And it always does.
Once we hit rock bottom, we put a stick of dynamite on the bottom and just blow out a whole new layer in the earth.
I mean, in fairness to, like, Shai Total, like, he was amazing when he wasn't injured. Kyle Phillips did play well his senior season. But I'm kind of ready for some new guys to see what they have to offer, and I'm okay with our defensive front right now. Maybe that's a stupid take come September, but I see – throw them in there, see what they got.
I especially feel a lot more confident about the defensive front if Aubrey Solomon gets cleared.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That is so crucial. You lose a lot of concerns if he gets cleared. But going back here, though – rounding out the rest of this SEC. So like I said, Billy, we are in the top 20. We got six more SEC teams to go on the top 20. Coming in at number 20, who do you got?
I feel like I need to write down every one of
I'll tell you, I've said Arkansas, Ole Miss, Vandy, Kentucky, Tennessee, South Carolina, Mississippi State, and Mizzou.
So this one has to be Auburn?
It is Auburn. You're doing really good at this. You're doing really good at this right here. The Tigers come in at the top 20. I know you're not looking ahead. I believe you. Good job here. Good job. We move up 10 more spots. We're in the top 10 now. Half the top 10 SEC teams. SEC football.
So we still have Florida, Georgia, LSU.
You already guessed Alabama.
And Alabama, right?
So you really only have four more to guess, yes. So number 10.
Florida?
Nope.
Oh, man. They have LSU at number 10?
Nope.
Hold on, who am I missing? Georgia, really?
No.
A&M?
Oh, no. I totally forgot about A&M.
Will got it. Jim Bone, Texas A&M. Here is the write-up on the Aggies here. Also notice, like, the higher you're ranked, the more this dude writes about you as well. So it says, Texas A&M paid big money to lure Jimbo Fisher to College Station, and the program is already reaping the benefits of that move. The Aggies finished 9-4 last fall, which was headlined by a victory over LSU for the first time since joining the SEC in a dominant win over NC State in the Gator Bowl. Fisher closed out his first full year on the job with an elite recruiting haul, setting up the program to take another step forward in the coming seasons. Exceeding last year's 9 wins won't be easy in 2019. Texas A&M faces a brutal schedule featuring matchups against Athlon's projected top 3 teams, Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia. Man, they got to go to Death Valley.
Yeah, that's tough.
We talked about South Carolina having a nasty schedule. A&M's is right behind them. It is right behind them there. A lot of people, this goes on to talk about Kellen Mond. A lot of people are high on Kellen Mond for this upcoming season. I'm very curious to see how he performs. It says Fisher excels at developing quarterbacks, and his next star pupil is Kellen Mond. As a junior last year, he passed for 3,107 yards, 24 touchdowns, and accounting for 474 yards and 7 scores on the ground. So you got A&M at 10.
I'm upset that I just didn't even think about A&M being in the SEC for some reason.
They're here. They have been here. Before we go over to Fan Run phone lines, let's finish out these next three. So number 8, Billy. Number 8.
Florida.
Is Florida. 7.
LSU.
Yeah.
And then
3 is Georgia.
Yep. Okay.
Pretty easy there.
I almost think I would – I know I forgot about them, but I would almost move A&M above Florida with all that's going on down in Gainesville right now.
I was about to say, like, where do you see some big disagreements right here? Because, like, I understand all of these rankings, like, up until maybe the top 10. I think I'm with you. I think I would probably flip-flop Florida and A&M. I don't know if I would put LSU all the way up to number 7. Really don't know. Really don't know, though. I think I have to go back to the top 50. I put Vanderbilt ahead of Kentucky. I think Kentucky's going to take a gigantic step back. Terry Wilson is an awful quarterback.
Yeah, we touched on that yesterday a little bit. He said he was hurt or injured during the second portion of the season.
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
And so that was kind of the excuse the beatdown from Tennessee.
That would be my excuse, too.
Yeah, I don't think he's a good quarterback either.
We got T-Cart back on the
That's
line.
Right.
Let's go over to the Fan Run phone lines. Guy, I haven't talked to you in a minute. We got T-Carp on the line. T-Carp, welcome into 3 and Out, man.
Hey, Tanner. Good morning. You all right?
Hey, man. I'm doing fantastic, T-Carp. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing good. Sorry about the noise in the background. Got the little ones with me. Just want to talk a little bit of Tennessee football. I know we were going through this list, and I kind of wanted to correct you. You said dumb butt Muschamp. You really can't say that because he's been our daddy for the past 7 years.
Hey, I also acknowledge that too.
Okay.
That's just me taking out my frustrations because that's one of the most bewildering things to me. He's such at his best. He's a little better than mediocre, and at most of the time he is mediocre. He's mediocre Muschamp, but for some reason we're 0-6 against him. Maybe even 0-7. It might even be that bad.
It's bad. It's very, very bad. I wanted to talk. I've been really muddling around for the past month and a half, and I've been thinking. And my thoughts are, even if we have a bad season, even if we go 6 wins this season, like, we still can't get nuts about it. And in the past, I've been, we'll know by year two or three. I don't know if we're, I don't know if we can do that anymore. And the only reason I say that is because we have, we just don't have any consistency. And with bringing Chaney in, I feel comfortable about the consistency rising. Does that make sense? I feel like even if we're a game or two better, that's still good enough till we can get to that 10-11. Because I start looking down the road, this season, who knows, but 2020, it just doesn't look like it's going to be our year because the schedule's so high. I just, is that, am I being a sheep for thinking like that? Because I've really not been in that camp the past couple coaches. Is, and I'm not a Pruitt fan, but I'm at some point you've got to have some consistency. Am I wrong in my new way of thinking?
No, you're I think you're thinking critically when you approach it like that. I've held the point that this upcoming season, if it's 7-5, yeah, you might not look at that seven wins in the regular season and be jumping for joy. But I feel like it's almost like the quality of those seven wins versus a quantity type of thing,
or even the development throughout the season.
You want to make sure you're not getting. You cannot see, again, getting blown out to Vanderbilt. You cannot be surrendering half a hundred to Missouri again. I know we hate to take the moral victory standpoint. I'll never consider moral victories. I'm still going to be annoyed after losses, but I'm also enough of just a regular college football fan and enough of somebody who is just, I've seen the reality of this program. I've seen enough to where, like, I get it, right?
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. My biggest thing is you've got to show some semblance of an offensive line. I know we're bringing in the two freshman tackles. I'm excited to see what we can do at center now that we've got that guy back. You've just got to have a good example is last year you couldn't even get a push against ETSU or whoever you played. I couldn't remember.
UTEP, you couldn't get a push. Well, it was bad.
Charlotte.
Yeah, you couldn't get a push. So you've got to have a push against those mediocre crap teams and win those and run the football successfully. And then I will see what we can do with Vanderbilt and Kentucky and all them. But, you know, like Phil always calls and says, you got to beat Vanderbilt.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, that's his mantra. That is his mantra, and it should be everybody's mantra. Let's forget. I mean, I know a lot of people
forget Florida. Forget, you know, everybody else. Let's beat Vandy first.
I know people are even pointing towards, hey, Mississippi State at home is an upset opportunity, and they're right. but hey, beat Vanderbilt, please. Make sure you don't lose to Kentucky and Lexington. Baby steps, T. Carp.
Yeah, that's all I'm asking for. And if we get to 7-5, that's that two. You know, Nate, when he first started, like long ago, before he bought the radio station, he had this Saturday morning show. And on that Saturday morning show, he talked about the win total for coaches is usually, from year to year, is usually no greater than two wins or two losses. If we can get up to that two wins, so if we can win seven, that's actually statistically pretty dang good. And then you can say, okay, you go to that seven wins, then you go to the nine wins maybe in 2020, and then you can get that 10-11. But the problem is you don't want to get two wins worse. But you still, even if you go six, and I know this sounds crazy, I'm not going to call for his head at six. You've just got to, I'll be happy with 7-5. This year, I truly
would. I think people would. And real quick, man, before we get off here, if you get 7-5, that usually means like, hey, you're probably going to have a really nice win at home over either South Carolina or Mississippi State. And I know historically, like that's not something you really shout in the streets over. But man, that's monumental. That is definitely monumental, especially during the stretches of this upcoming season that we know are tough every single year.
Yeah, because you've won four games and you won five games last year. I think that is monumental. I mean, and I know this sounds so stupid, but, and we ran Butch Jones off because he was an idiot. He is an idiot. But dang, I'd really like some 8-4 seasons. You know what I mean? I'd love some 8-4 Brooks.
Who are we to complain about it, man?
I hear you, buddy. You have a good one, man.
Hey, good talking to you, T-Carb. Have a good day. Oh, good talking to T-Carb again.
The guy coming back is Brandon Kennedy, I believe, at center.
That's who he's talking about, center.
And T-Carp's right. I mean, he's not a sheep at all. Maybe we're all sheep. I don't know. But I think 5-7's okay as long as you don't get blown out. Like, if you're in every game and you can see the improvement throughout the season, are fans going to be happy? Probably not. Should he get fired? Definitely not. Especially, like, what was that 1 year, 2015 maybe, where they lost every game by under 10 points? If you see that, I know that's heartbreaking, but if you see that, then you can kind of tell that the offensive line is probably going to be better, but they're freshmen, so they're going to make mistakes. And those mistakes could be the difference between a touchdown here or there, but if you only lose because of that mistake or you only lose by that touchdown, I think most reasonable fans will look at that and say, this team is improving. Those are freshmen on the offensive line. Let's wait. I hate to say let's wait, but let's wait till next year. Those guys are going to have one more year underneath their belt. We got more talent coming in. I think things are looking up.
I think I could agree with that standpoint only if, like, you get 6 wins, only if you're going to a bowl game. I would not be okay with 5-7. I wouldn't be calling for his head. I think he at least deserves, like, the 3 years, because you can't be hiring every 1-2 seasons. But if it's another 5-7, and you got – I'm not going to say like 4 guaranteed wins. You should be 4-0 in non-conference this season.
No, yeah.
Like, you really should. I respect BYU. Also respect Bill Clark and what he's done at UAB, literally resurrecting that program from the dead. But at the same point, man, it's Vanderbilt's taking a huge step back. I know they still got Keyshawn Vaughn back there in the backfield. Amazing running back. I wish he would have went to the draft. Kentucky and Lexington, for as much as I think they're going to take a huge steps back, it's a road game in the SEC. That's never a given. It's going to be some games that are going to be tough, but, man, this team should at least make a bowl game. This team should at least make a bowl game. I'm going to be very concerned if it is another 5-7, though. That's just my standpoint on it, though. So, hit another break here. More 3-and-out. Rolling along. 865-546-8200 to hop on here like T-Carp did. And, almost forgot before we go here. Need to tell you that this segment is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, the fine folks over there. Check out all their services online at tvacreditunion.com. That's tvacreditunion.com. And how about this? For the month of June, there's still time here. For this month, help your kids get a jump start on savings. Sign up for a jump start savings account for anyone 17 years old or younger. 3% APY on the first $500. Get your kids started early on the savings. Check them out at tvacreditunion.com, or you can visit one of the 20 branches in East Tennessee. TVA Employees Credit Union, helping their members grow financially, moving upward and forward. More 3-and-out when we come back. Back on 3-and-out here. Billy, I do believe you have this list here. We had some non-conference schedules of SEC teams ranked. That was the list, correct?
I don't know if they're – I don't know. I'll try to find the list. I do have where Tennessee ranks.
Yeah, basically, for once in a blue moon, Tennessee's non-conference slate, you don't look at that and kind of like shudder. It's a little bit easier. A little bit easier compared to years past. So it was ranked like what in the SEC? It was definitely in the bottom half of SEC non-conference schedules. What was it, like 9th?
They rank in the top 10 in the nation.
Really?
9th overall.
Okay. As far as easiest?
Easiest.
Oh, 9th in the nation.
Yeah.
So is that the easiest in the SEC, or is there – I think Alabama's is very easy.
Yeah,
per usual.
Yeah, so you have to be an ESPN insider member to get the full list. I don't have that. But college football's preseason rankings, you know, obviously Tennessee's not going to pop in the top 25 there. However, they did come in the top 10 when it comes to ranking non-conference schedule. If you're not familiar, which you probably are, Tennessee plays Georgia State, BYU, Chattanooga, and UAB. I was taking a look at years past. This is like the first year Tennessee hasn't played like a tough Power 5 opponent in forever, it feels like. I mean, I don't even – like, because you think about the 2000s, they were always scheduling someone with Ainge and Clawson and those guys, so –
In the last three seasons, you had the big neutral site matchups, Battle at Bristol 2016, Chick-fil-A kickoff against Georgia Tech in 2017, and of course, the massacre in Charlotte at the hands of West Virginia. Last season. In 2015, you had neutral site against Bowling Green, but then the very next week, you had Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, Oregon comes to mind.
You got to play Oklahoma and Norman next year. Ah! It's too soon! I was just talking to intern Will in the break. It's too soon to see them again. I still have nightmares.
That's weird, right?
Of not being able to sack Baker Mayfield. It's too soon. Too soon.
I think you just gave me the answer to the question that I have. Are you the – we're Tennessee. We're not scared of nobody. We'll play anybody, anywhere, any Saturday, any Monday, any day of the week. We're Tennessee. Or – do you like having the ninth easiest non-conference schedule in the nation?
I'll tell you this. If there was a GoFundMe to buy out next year's Oklahoma game, I would contribute like $50. no, it is way too soon. I might be I'm always going to be a proud Tennessee fan. I'm always going to be. But I'm also a realist. Too soon. Too soon.
Give you the four guaranteed wins.
Give me the guarantee because you already play. Dude, you have to play Alabama every year. You have to play Georgia every year. It's tough enough. We're going to the swamp this year. I love this toned-down non-conference schedule. It's still not an easy one. It's easier, but BYU is not going to be a pushover. BYU is known for going to Power 5 opponents and beating them. They did it with Wisconsin last year. They've done it with Texas. They've done it with Nebraska. That's a point of pride for them. They're an independent school now. They love scheduling some tougher games against some bigger name brand teams. They love going there and winning. So it's not completely easy. I don't think, depending on what happens by the time November 2nd rolls around, I don't think UAB will be completely easy. They were really, really good last year. So I just like that it's easier. You still get some challenges here. BYU is going to be a primetime ESPN game. That one could come down to the wire.
Oh, Tennessee's only a 7-point favorite in that game, I believe.
And who knows how it can fluctuate in Vegas by the time that one rolls around.
Will, correct me if I'm wrong. You were not born in 1998 when Tennessee won a national title, right?
That is correct. I was born in 2002.
Oh, man. How do you feel?
Oh, no.
Are you – so you really –
why did you choose this?
You haven't seen a lot of good Tennessee football.
No. People said, I missed the glory days being born in 95. Woof. Oh, man. Poor Will.
How do you feel when you see the ninth easiest non-conference schedule?
I don't necessarily feel bad about it. I want the wins. I want to see a bowl game. I want to see postseason, good postseason football. And I can just remember the only real good season I can remember was that 2016 8-4 season. And even that fell apart, and I've said that multiple times. But that Oklahoma game is my least favorite game of all time. And I know I don't watch a lot of football because I'm only 17 and I haven't watched all of the history, but that game right there is my least favorite. And
it was one of my least favorite, too.
If we can go double OT with BYU, I like our chances more than if we go double OT with Oklahoma.
See, the thing about being born, like you said, 95, like even in 98, you're three. Like you didn't really get to experience it.
My first cognitive memories of Tennessee football when I was like actually like actively room was like 2002.
Right. So
the year he was born.
Yeah, so, I'm gonna say Will's like first impression of Tennessee was probably Lane Kiffin.
I remember kind of vaguely Lane Kiffin leaving, but
he's had Derek Dooley and Butch Jones.
So like, old right now. Dooley, thank you, Will, for making me feel like I'm 45.
Dooley was the first like coach I remember complaining.
Oh, what an introduction! Oh, what an introduction! Is this how it's like to like grow up like a Browns fan or something? Like his experience, I feel like bad for him.
I mean, at least I was like 8 years old in 98. Like, my first memories of Tennessee football was the second half of 97. So I got to see decent football. I got to see 98. Like, I remember watching most of the games in 98.
How'd you celebrate the national title as a kid?
I went to bed. I got to stay up and eat pizza till like 10 o'clock. I was excited.
Rebel!
What's crazy is you just don't understand – like how much that means to the fan base or to the community, like to the work, to the program, to everything involved in Tennessee when you're 8 years old,
you know?
Like, I couldn't imagine winning the national championship next season.
What was your first home game? I always like hearing about who's the first home game was.
I think 2000 Florida, maybe.
Not the Gaffney game.
It was the Gaff.
You should have quit right then and there.
Yeah, that was my.
That was just a little preview of what would to come. Oh, my first one was senior day 2003.
Okay.
Casey Clawson's last game.
Yeah.
I got to see a whooping on Vanderbilt. How I yearned for that. How about you, Will? What was your first game? Don't tell me it's Oklahoma.
That I can remember, my first home game for Tennessee was, I think, 08 versus Ole Miss, I want to say, and Ole Miss absolutely got destroyed.
That would have been 2010.
Because
that was Tyler Bray, Justin Hunter.
Because then, after I watched Ole Miss get spanked, I was like, I kind of like Tennessee now. Because at first, I was kind of against my parents and didn't really want to root for the same team. But as soon as I saw that, that was what hooked me in.
Old Tyler Bray.
It's too late now. Oh man! But before we hit another break here, but Billy, where are you on this though? About the playing like Oklahoma next year? You like this, don't you?
I would be in favor of getting rid of non-conference games and just playing, or getting rid of the Georgia States and Chattanoogas and UABs. I know it helps their programs, but I want to see good football every single week. Like the Chattanooga at noon o'clock. Like, see, I don't even get excited talking about it. But at noon, like, that doesn't do any, like, Georgia State doesn't do anything for me. Now, do I agree with you? Like, do I want the four guaranteed wins? Absolutely. However, when Tennessee's good and Oklahoma's good, like, that's something that you want to tune into, even if you're not a fan of those teams.
See, that's the thing. I still think next year.
We're
not close to level Oklahoma next year. Let's just say this year is like a really good year. I'm talking about like 9-3 regular season. You go to the swamp and upset Florida. You do all this great stuff. I still am very nervous about going to Norman. There's something about playing there. There's something about playing that program. I mean, Lincoln Riley has just produced two straight Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks who are different players. And he may have a third one this year in Jalen Hurts if the dominoes fall the right way. It could be possible. I'm all about playing those type of programs when you get to their level. It's about what can you really, really gain from just playing that opponent. Now, of course, you get a win, you gain a whole lot. But there's the thing. It's just like I think back real quick to 2013 Oregon. The third game of Butch Jones' tenure, you go to Eugene to play number two. They wax you on ABC national television. You didn't gain a single thing from that. Just did not gain anything like that. Now, if the 2015-2016 Vols went to Eugene, that's a much better contest. I don't know if you get a win up there, but it's a lot better. It's all about what's your best opportunity to gain something. So maybe I think when Oklahoma comes to Neyland in 2023 or 2024, whenever they make that return trip, I think I'll be much more up for it then, though. But we have to hit this break here. We got one more segment, hour number two, three and out. Fly by here today, 865-546-8200, to hop on the Fan Run phone lines. We will be right back to wrap up hour two after this. Wrapping up hour number two of Three and Out here, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Short segment here at the as we go up to the 9 o'clock hour. And it's always good for throwaway segments here, and I say throw with no pun intended here. We go to Miami, Florida. Stop me if you've heard this headline before. A Florida man. You haven't stopped me.
Go ahead and stop. I've heard that part.
Florida man. Well, here we go. Florida man throws his own feces at judge during hearing.
What?
Yeah. I would say go Gators, but this is Miami, so this is he's a fan of the U. This is a Canes fan right here, most likely.
You know, you think that you hear all these Florida stories and you're like, ah, it can't get any worse. It can't. They can't.
It's bad.
They can't get any more stupid.
I will say this is an original one. I don't think I've ever really read a story about poop throwing in court.
Continue, please.
We go to Miami-Dade County Courtroom. A man on trial for robbery decided to play dirty last week in the courtroom. 33-year-old DeOrleans Philidor was sitting in a wheelchair near the judge. That's when witnesses say he tried to throw feces at her. His trial was then moved so the courtroom could be sanitized. There's no word on whether Philidor will face additional charges. This is not the same story I read last night, because the story I read last night had a lot more detail. Here's more detail. So, like I said, he was originally on trial for robbery, burglary, whatever. He ended up getting acquitted of that charge, even after throwing the poop, even after...
How did he get the poop in the courtroom?
Oh, he went on himself. During, right there next to the judge. This one, I'm on rare.us, I guess, like rare humor. It says he couldn't hold it in anymore during his trial. He threw it at the judge. Oh, let's see here. I'm getting more. Let's see. Oh, so the poop did not hit the judge. Even though he was right next to her, the poop did not hit the judge. The judge was able to dodge the poop. Miami-Dade Circuit Judge Lisa Walsh, she acted quickly and dodged the flying poop.
Well, you know what they say. You can dodge poop. You can dodge a ball.
That also goes for wrenches as well. There were no jurors present at the trial, however, but witnesses said that dozens of correction officers responded and removed him from the room. The trial was also moved so that, like I said, the other story could be sanitized. still got acquitted of the burglary charge. However, he still has a grand theft auto charge pending, and it's yet to say if he's going to get any charges for the poop throwing. I say that's some type of contempt of court charge, correct? It has to be.
Yeah, it has to be. Hold on. So he stole the vehicle in a wheelchair?
No, he was just in No, I don't think he's wheelchair bound.
Oh, okay. I thought you said he was
he was in the wheelchair, but I'm not sure though. Why? Maybe he was like, I don't know, maybe being restrained or something like that. It didn't really have the details like why he was in there.
Even still, that's just...
Yeah, he still has to face that other trial for the Grand Theft Auto. It also said in the story I read last night on my show that he also defecated on himself in his cell. So he's got a problem. He just can't hold it
Florida
in anymore.
People,
can't hold in the anger anymore, along with other things here. And I think we just peaked there in hour number two. Let's reset for hour number three, 865-546-8200. Three and Out, rolling along here. Don't be a Florida man. We will be right back.